Far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Good morning and welcome to Nosebleeds, your everything baseball podcast on WFUV Sports. I am Dominic Sansone and I'm joined alongside Alex Diaz for today's rendition of the MLB podcast. So Alex, before we get into it and before we dive into the MLB, we're approaching the All-Star break. How are you doing? How's summer going and how are things?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, I just got my wisdom teeth out on Monday, so getting back into the swing of things. And then I work for a baseball team here in Jersey, so that's kicking back up. But super excited. Love to talk baseball and excited to be here today.
Yeah, that's awesome. And wisdom teeth, hoping for the best of recovery. You sound pretty good, though. So looks like...
Yeah, we're getting back into it.
Yeah, for sure. It's challenging. Haven't gotten mine out. My dad's a dentist. He's like, Dom, you got to go get them out. And, you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I put it off for like 2 years and I was like, I just get them done.
Yeah, it's not the day I'm looking forward to, but let's jump right into it now. So we'll start in the American League. We'll start with the New York team, the New York Yankees. So obviously the Dodgers, they lost two of the three, did not get the series this past weekend. They won the one on Sunday Night Baseball. What did you see in that series specifically that you want to know?
Yeah, I think that all in all, it just wasn't a great series. Our starting pitching wasn't great. Max Fried noted he didn't start well, and I think that that's something that was important for him to come out and say. But offensively, we didn't do much either. Yeah, we scored five in the first game, but when you're playing a team like the Dodgers, five is never going to be enough. I think you saw that last postseason. Obviously, it's never enough when you play them. I think that second game, 18-2, yeah, it's a tough loss, but I think the Yankees as a team, we've been rolling, we've been on a roll, we haven't been beaten down. And as much as it sucks to go play the Dodgers and lose to Los Angeles, it was going to happen eventually. And if this is it and we can put that behind us, that's fine. It's one game that we lost. It's a series that we lost. But at the end of the day, we're coming back home. We played a good series against Cleveland the past 3 days. And we're turning towards the Red Sox. So not something really to dwell on, I think.
No, and I don't think it's anything to dwell on for sure. I mean, I was just looking back at their schedule before that. Obviously, the one that they dropped to the Colorado Rockies was disappointing. You never like to see any team drop one of the Rockies. They just got the 10 wins and they've been on a 3-game win streak. And, you know, it was disappointing to see that they drop one there. But the Dodgers, obviously, great team. They beat us last year. They have our number, is what it looks like from the seam of things. I think the big thing was on the Saturday, it was just 18-2. It was just really hard to watch. I mean, personally, as a New York Yankees fan, getting blown out by that magnitude.
Yeah, for sure. It's not something that you ever want to see in a baseball game. I know even when the score is the opposite way, it's still not something that you want to watch. It's not something you ever want to see happen, especially to these guys that you root for left and right. But It sucks for a guy like Will Warren started that game, and it sucks for a guy like him because he's a young pitcher and he's had a ton of confidence so far, but now you just hope that this doesn't hinder how well he's thrown and you hope that he can turn it around as the season continues.
Yeah, and he's spun the ball really, really well. The Yankees used 8 pitchers in that game, so that is a high this season. Not ideal if you're a Yankees fan. But transitioning to the bullpen, obviously Fried has been very good. Rodon has kind of stepped into his role pretty well. The next two are kind of, who knows? I mean, Clark Schmidt's starting to come back now. We'll see how he continues to look and come back. But something I do want to highlight is Weaver went on the IL a couple days ago with a hamstring issue. Hamstring calf issue. He's expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. How huge of a blow is that to New York?
Yeah, that's huge. Anytime you lose a guy who's been as consistent and as good for a team, it sucks. It's not something you ever want to see. But I think the Yankees are in a position, especially after Devin Williams has completely turned it around, we're in a position to really be able to rely on our bullpen. I think there's still some questions there. I think you see it with Aaron Boone all the time, making questionable decisions, just trying to figure out who he has to trust. But obviously, Fernando Cruz just came back. So that's somebody that they'll look to. Jonathan Loaisiga has been pretty good down the stretch here, too. So it'll be interesting to see who Boone turns to like get these outs here, because he's been known to do interesting things, to say the least.
Yeah, I think Loaisiga is going to be one of those guys coming back who they're going to have to rely on. Tim Hill has been interesting at times. I mean, he's been pretty good. He's got a 2.93 ERA, not bad. So he's another guy, a little bit of a different look and release point. He can definitely be impactful as well coming out of that bullpen. So Williams has reassumed that closing role. Now, with Weaver on the IL, there's tons of what ifs. What if Williams does great in this next 4 to 6 weeks? Will he stay the closer? Will he not? What do you think in terms of, before we get into the what ifs, like, do you think Williams will be able to handle the pressure of closing in New York?
I think he's going to be able to handle the pressure of closing for sure. You don't get to be the best closer in baseball at the time without doing it, without being able to handle the pressure. But the question is, can he sustain it for a good amount of time? Yeah, he wasn't throwing the ninth every time he came out here and had a good inning, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he can't handle it. I think we can go into the what ifs. If Devin Williams has a good next few weeks and Luke Weaver comes back, then you leave Williams in the closer spot and let Weaver like slowly get in back into it. Because I think it'd be pretty tough on Weaver to have him be out 4 to 6 weeks and then come back. And it's like, all right, you have to come back and close. So I think we need to have Devin Williams step up, and he needs to be able to be somebody that this team can rely on.
Yeah, I agree completely with you there, Alex. I think Williams is, like you said, he was one of the best, if not the best closer in baseball up in Milwaukee. And he came down to New York. He had a rough stint at closer at the beginning of the year. And many statistics people will tell you he had a very small sample size. Like he only played less, he didn't play even close to 30 games, which statisticians would tell you they want. So I think in the big scheme of things, he's really turned things around. I think in his last 11 outings, his ERA is under like a 1.3 or 1.4. I remember the stat on ESPN. They showed it. So shout out to them. But he has turned things around and he's been huge for this Yankees team. He's just going to have to do what he's been doing in the seventh, eighth, sixth, in the ninth inning.
Yeah,
So
for sure.
next point is with Williams in this new closing role, the Yankees now have a 3-game set coming up here against their rival, the Red Sox. So Boston has been kind of up and down this year. They're trying to get over 500. How did the Yankees stop that?
Yeah, I think, well, first, anytime the Yankees play the Red Sox, it's going to be a competitive series. It's crazy to say the Red Sox had a bad season last year, but I think against us, I think we won the series like 7-6 last year, and the Red Sox were nowhere near the team that we were. And I think that that's just a testament to how the guys play every time they go out. The question always becomes when you play the Red Sox is, do you pitch to Devers? And I think, Gerrit Cole's not here to pitch against them, but I think he's always going to be a guy that's going to have an impact. He's going to be somebody that the Red Sox can always rely on. So the question really for this series becomes, will Warren pitch well? I think he's throwing today.
Yep.
Yeah, he starts tonight, and I think the question is, can he bounce back against it? I'll say a decent Red Sox team. They're not great, they're not terrible, but they're still a competitive team. And I think it becomes whether or not our pitching can keep up the success that they have had.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to the pitching side of things. It's going to be Walker Buehler tonight against Will Warren. That'll be the pitching matchup tonight. Tomorrow it'll be Crochet against Yarbrough and then Dobbins against Rodon to close it out on Sunday. So Yankees have two of their best. Yarbrough's been very good. He had a very good outing last time he was out. And then Will Warren obviously got beat up a little bit. So we'll see if he can kind of turn it around and get back to usual Will Warren. In terms of the Red Sox, though, something I want to note is I think it was Rafaela hit that walk-off 308 feet. It was the shortest walk-off home run ever hit in the Statcast era. So pretty cool for Boston. But I agree with you 100% on a lot of the things you said, Alex. And to me, the Red Sox are a team that is dangerous to New York. They're someone who is below 500, probably not going to make the playoffs. Don't judge me on that, but looking at the way things are right now, it looks like the Red Sox are on the outside looking in, especially with a very, very good AL East, and AL in general. But I don't think that this team can be underlooked. Like, you can't say, hey, the Red Sox are not a good team, because they will come in and take one or two out of three. And this is a series that the Yankees can most definitely sweep, and they should be winning two out of three every time they play the Red Sox this year, as long as their pitching's dialed in and they're focused, they're not worried about the next series. I think they can do that.
Yeah, for sure. I think what you said about the Red Sox coming in and playing hard stands true to every team in the AL East. I feel like for whatever reason, every time we go play an AL East team, it's to another level, and those teams play even harder than they do. I think when they're not playing us, or playing the Yankees in general, the Red Sox are never a team that anyone looks to and says, "Oh, I can't wait to play them. I can't wait till they come to town." Like, it's just, yeah, the fans do. The fans can't wait to see it, but as for the players and for the coaches, it's not really something that they might be excited about, because you know the Red Sox are going to put up a fight no matter what. The amount of classic games the Yankees and Red Sox have is like uncountable. Like, nobody even can count how many they have. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's one of those games this series.
Yeah, anyone in the clubhouses are like, oh, the Red Sox are in town. Like, here we go. It's same thing every year. But the fans do enjoy it. It's a real rivalry matchup. So we'll see what happens there. My prediction, I think the Yankees do get two of the three. I think Will Warren turns it around. Yarbrough is going up against Crochet. That's a really tough matchup. I think we drop that one, and then Rodon takes Sunday. So in the rubber match, that's what I got. What about you?
No, I agree. I think two out of three sounds about right. Yarbrough, as good as he's been, I think, sorry, I think Crochet's even better. So I think that's going to be probably the toughest matchup of the weekend. Really, Will Warren, I think, is going to continue his success, because that's the pitcher that he's kind of proven to be. It's dust off a bad start, get back out there. And Carlos Rodon has been honestly a great story this year, has been one of our better pitchers. Which is exciting to see after he's had quite a bit of struggles. But yeah, I think I agree. Two out of three for the Yankees.
Yeah, so around the AL, as we take a look outside the AL East in New York, you got the Detroit Tigers with the best record in baseball. They're 41-23, a win percentage of 641. And in the AL West, you have the Astros leading the way. So usual signs in the AL West. You have the Mariners, who are playing good baseball. They're led by their catcher, Raleigh, who's slugging the ball like we've never seen out of a catcher. Mike Piazza giving reminiscence of that. So, looking at the AL Central, though, before we dive into the West, you have four teams above 500. So, you think anyone can catch the Tigers, or are they out of reach? Are they going to win that division?
Yeah, I think the Central is the Tigers' division to lose right now. I don't see anyone catching them. Obviously, they have for the Tigers, they have five pretty good starters in Scooble, Flaherty, Casey Mize, Jackson Jobe, and Reese Olson, and they've all thrown really well as of late. There's been a few struggles here and there, but that's totally normal in a baseball season. That's to be expected. But I think what's even more important for them is that offensively, you're getting production up and down the lineup. Like, there's not really a ton of holes that they need to be worried about. And it feels like they have someone new coming through each game. Every time they need something, somebody's there to do it. So some of their key players have been Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, Carey Carpenter, Trey Sweeney, Gleyber Torres, and then Zach McKinstry. So they've all been pretty big for them, which is very good for Gleyber Torres. As a Yankees fan, I'm glad to see him producing somewhere. I also wanted to do a quick mention for Javier Baez, not in like a stat wise, but he moved to center field to play this season, which is something he hasn't done in the past. And I think it's giving them more flexibility, and it's helping them win games as well. But there's also been a lot of stories that have come out of the Tigers clubhouse That Baez is a guy that has taken younger players under his wing, so to speak, and has tried to help them navigate being a pro baller. And I think that that's huge for them. I don't think that that's something that you would have seen Javi Baez doing in the past, but him being able to do that and help a lot of these younger players is definitely what's helping them be successful. And then lastly, as a Yankees fan, I think we all know any team that AJ Hinch is in charge of is going to be a good team. And I think that that's exactly what you're seeing here. He knows how to manage a team so well. And I think not that the Tigers aren't a good team by themselves, but I think AJ Hinch is just bringing them to another level.
Yeah, you said it. You couldn't hit the nail more on the head. I mean, he is a tremendous manager for this team. And you look at Glaber, and as a Yankees fan, your heart is kind of got mixed emotions because you look at Gleyber Torres and you're like, he was such a valuable piece at times for New York. And now to see him with a 379 on base percentage and stats that he's putting up. And we're going to get into the All-Star talk at the end, but he's definitely one of the guys to consider for that roster.
Yeah, for sure. It makes you glad to see that he's going somewhere else and being able to produce just because of how hard it felt like it was for him to play here. I think he got a lot of criticism from basically everywhere. So the fact that he's able to go to Detroit, maybe take a little bit of that pressure off, but still be a player that I think we all knew he was, is pretty important for him.
So that'll wrap up our AL talk. We're going to transition to the National League now. And something I want to hit on is the New York Mets. So, the best record in baseball at home, they are 24-7. So, talk about defending the city, the New York vibe. Queens is a tough environment to play, and it's Citi Field, not the hardest stadium to play in, I would say, in the big leagues. Dodger Stadium, Yankee Stadium, probably ahead of it. But the Mets on home turf have a win percentage over 75%. So if you talk about things that contribute to the playoffs, how vital is this for the Mets?
Yeah, I think right now no team wants to go play the Mets at Citi Field. I don't know that many teams want to go play the Mets in general. Obviously, they just took two from the Dodgers, so they split that series. But having to go to New York in the first place and play is tough enough. But when you have a team like the Mets who've been so dominant at home, I think that that's even harder. And I think that's going to start changing the way that teams might approach their series against the Mets. Obviously, the playoffs, they'll adjust how they play. But I think right now, there's not a lot of teams that want to go there and play. Obviously, they have to, but the Mets are making it pretty hard for other teams to come in and win games.
Yeah, it's been a hostile environment. It's been very, very challenging for teams to come in there. No series have been won at Citi Field, so something to keep note of as well if you're a road team. In the NL as a whole, the Mets are leading the way in terms of standings. They have 39 wins. The Cubs are right up there as well, and the Dodgers as well. So you have a lot of teams, okay, but let's focus on the NL East. Really, the Mets and the Phillies are at the top. Do you think the Phillies can pass the Mets, or do you think the Mets, it's their division to lose?
Yeah, for sure. I think the Phillies are always going to put up a fight. You look at everything that they've done in the past. But my concern with the Phillies is that they haven't made enough changes. The Mets have gone out, they've made changes, they've gotten pitching, they got Juan Soto. But the Phillies to me feel like the same team. And that could be good for them because they all know each other, they know how each other play. But I just don't know that the Phillies have enough this year to beat out this Mets team. I think this Mets team is playing too well right now. Down the stretch, it could be completely different. The Mets could. They could all crash at once. Right now, they're all high. A lot of them are hot. Obviously, Juan Soto is starting to get hot. But if this Mets team can keep up how they're playing, I don't think that there's a team that can catch them even as well as the Phillies are playing.
Yeah, another guy they brought in, Griffin Canning. He's been very big out of the Angels, a guy who, was not someone who was great in Los Angeles. He came in and he's really been doing well for New York. So they've made a lot of additions. The Phillies are kind of the old-fashioned Philadelphia Phillies. They haven't really done anything to better themselves. I mean, they're going to be good. They're probably going to be in the playoffs, but I don't know if they're going to be able to take that step to overtake the Mets. Now, transitioning down to the NL Central, you have the Chicago Cubs, who are there, and the Cardinals, Brewers, and Reds. So, similar to the AL Central, again, you have three teams over 500 in that division. What are the Cubs' specifically doing. I mean, their last 10, they're 8-2 in, so they have a very good record on the road as well. What are they doing specifically to get these wins?
I think what I see, especially for them, is that they're just all hitting right now. And as much as everyone wishes they could be like that, I think what's setting the Cubs apart is that they have so many people that are hitting. If you have a guy who has a down day, which is gonna happen, it's baseball, it's normal. But they have five or six other guys who step right in and fill that place. I don't know if this is sustainable down the stretch, obviously. A lot of these guys are hitting well right now, but I don't know if that's something that can continue. Something else a little concerning, their pitching has been a little bit wary. Obviously, we have some pitching injuries with Justin Steele and Shota Umanga, but overall, Jameson Taillon, Matthew Boyd, and Colin Ray have each thrown well for them, who's been three of their starters. It's not the same as having the other two guys there. But definitely something to look for down the stretch. I also think it's been great what the Cubs are doing for Chicago, and it's almost like breathing life back into the city. Obviously, they're not the White Sox, but last year was a bit rough in general for the Cubs. They went out, they brought people in, such as Kyle Tucker. It's completely changed that team over there. So that's been really exciting to watch.
Yeah, the White Sox are not getting it done in Chicago. At least the Cubs are trying to represent the city. The more memorable team for sure at Wrigley Field. So you look at some guys across the board there. You have six heading over 250. Horner, Tucker, Bush, Crow Armstrong, Suzuki, and Hop. So six guys all hitting, like you said. They really don't have a lot of guys that are struggling. Swanson's the only one below 250. And I think this Cubs team, again, like I think this is their division to lose. I know they're leading it, but the Cardinals are really, really weak, as are the Brewers, and the Reds and Pirates are not good at all. So that is a fairly weak division. Obviously, the Cardinals and Brewers are the two front runners to try and challenge the Cubs. But now let's get down to the NL West. This is a division that is loaded with talent. You have the Dodgers, Padres, Giants, and Diamondbacks, who are all excellent teams.
Yeah, I agree. For obvious reasons, we're writing off the Colorado Rockies. They could just come back next year. Obviously, the Dodgers, of course, led as always by Ohtani, Freeman, Will Smith, Mookie Betts, of course, to go along with Yamamoto and Dustin Mays, their pitchers there. I think everybody knows when this Dodgers team is right, they can take down almost anyone in the league. So they're never a team that anyone wants to go play, regardless of who you are. For the Padres, it's the obvious people there with Tatis, Machado, Arias, and Bogarts. The only thing for the Padres is that they're missing a few pitchers. So Michael King went down. Yu Darvish has been out for 3 weeks now. And I think that kind of puts a bit of strain on who they have available. Obviously, they have Dylan Cease and Nick Pivetta, but Dylan Cease has not had a really great start to the season. So that is also something to take a look at. And then for the Giants, which is a team that I feel like we really, really talk about them being in or having the possibility to be the top of the NL West lately, just because of the Dodgers' prominence and everything like that. But this is Buster Posey's first year as a general manager, and he brought in Willy Adames, Matt Chapman, which kind of reshapes how that team looks. They also had, a couple of players there like Yastrzemski. To me, they feel like a little bit of like a power over average team. So right now, I think they're kind of relying a little more on home runs as opposed to like stringing together hits and stuff like that. They've had really good pitching from their starters and Robbie Ray and Logan Webb, and then of course Justin Verlander has been okay for them. He's currently on the IL though, so maybe something to see when he comes back if that team can be even better. But I think that this league has just been, or this division has been so exciting to watch because you kind of got used to it being the Dodgers, the Dodgers, the Dodgers. And then the Padres popped up and it was like, all right, Dodgers, Padres. And now you get to bring the Giants into it, which just makes it a whole new thing. And it makes it so much more competitive. I think right now, though, the Dodgers are still going to firmly hold the lead. And I think that that's something that I can imagine the gap widening as the season progresses. But I still think the Padres and the Giants are both potential playoff teams as well.
Yeah, they're all playoff teams. I think the Giants now are definitely in the picture. I think Like you said, it's been Dodgers, Padres, Giants are now one of the teams that have risen to the plate. Now, someone who is in the picture but not in the picture is the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're 31 and 31. They are trying to make a move. Now, they have the hardest division in baseball, if you ask me. I think many would agree with that. But I see this Diamondbacks team. I saw them in New York. They beat the Yankees when I watched the game. They have some guys. Carroll is one of their guys that can really get it done. Do you think that this team could make a run?
I think that they definitely have the potential to make a run, especially because they have a bit of a veteran presence with Naylor and Gurriel Jr. there, which I think is always important when you're making a run. I don't think they're going to be able to overtake the Padres, the Giants, or the Dodgers, though. So I think that's the only thing I'd be concerned about, especially in an NL that seems like a bit more competitive this year than it has been in the past. But I do think that they're definitely in contention to have a really good season. And if they're in the playoffs come September, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
No, yeah, it would not be a shock, but they do have to overtake one of those teams and those powerhouses. So that is probably going to be tough. So we looked at the NL West, we looked at everything, and now let's turn our thoughts over to the All-Star game. It's going to be on July 15th of this year. Do you have any predictions on who do you think will win the All-Star game? And obviously, I know it's so far ahead, but probable starters who will make the team as voting has already begun.
I honestly can never predict who's going to win the All-Star game. Every year I think it's going to be a team and then it's never them. But I completely think it's probably going to be one of the more competitive years, and I think you might see guys pop in who you probably didn't think. Right now there's been a couple of like tough choices. I think even like the first baseman for the AL is all over the place because obviously, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has had a great season so far, but then you also have Spencer Torkelson from the Tigers, Jonathan Aranda from the Rays, and then of course Paul Goldschmidt from the Yankees, who I think a lot of people didn't really see him being in this position come the beginning of this season. So that I would take Paul Goldschmidt as my first baseman for the AL just because I think he's had such, I don't want to say like a unicorn season, but like it just didn't feel like this was something that he was going to do this year. And I think that that's been super helpful for the Yankees. I feel like I'm a little Yankees heavy over here just because, like my center fielder is going to be Trent Grisham just because of the way he swung the bat lately. I'm not really sure if he makes the All-Star game, but in my mind, he could be there along with Aaron Judge, of course, is going to be the starting right fielder for the All-Star game. That's not a question, but I think there's a couple of other question marks along the way.
Yeah, I think you hit the main ones. I think for catcher, for me, it's Cal Raleigh,
For
23 home
sure.
runs. That's really all you need to say out of a catcher out in left. It could be Kwan, maybe Green from the Tigers. Center Trent Grisham. I was looking on the New York Times earlier, and while you may be biased, it says, it literally says this is not a typo. So Trent Grisham is not a crazy poll out of you, Alex.
Like the beginning of the year, I never would have said Trent Grisham was gonna be in the All-Star game. So
Yeah, Judge is an absolute lock over there in right, 387, a 1.242 OPS. I mean, there is no debating that. There'll be some questions at shortstop. Not really sure who we'll see there. Maybe Bobby Witt, maybe Jacob Wilson of the A's. Kind of crazy that we're saying an A's player might be there. And then I think over at second, I think we're probably going to see another ex-Yankee in Gleyber. I mean, he's had a really good year for the Tigers.
yeah, I completely agree. I think Torres has everything it takes to be the starting second baseman in the All-Star game. I think he's kind of proven the player that he is. Also, I think shortstop could wind up being Bobby Witt Jr. just because of the season he's had. At third base comes my question because I think I would have chosen Alex Bregman to be the starting third baseman. Obviously, he goes down now, so I think that kind of turns to Jose Ramirez, who I feel like is like an all-star game like staple. Like I don't know if you can have an all-star game with Adam playing third. So that's somebody that I would see there. And over at DH, I think, unfortunately, I think it's going to be Devers just because he's had a tremendous last month. He didn't start out the season too well, but DH-wise, I'm not really sure who else would be a better fit there.
Yeah, and there's been this debate with Devers where he said, you know, he kind of was in a slump at the beginning of the year. And it was because he said, you know, I'm so used to playing defense over at third, and it kind of just got me out of a rhythm, he was saying. And he struggled, but obviously found his stride very, very quickly back to the Rafael Devers that we all know. Now, looking at the pitching side of things, I think it's pretty obvious here. Skubal's probably going to be the guy for the AL to take the ball at the start, although Max Fried, Crochet, some of the guys that also come to mind there.
Yeah, for sure. I think Max Fried is honestly a good choice to start the game. If he would, I know a lot of pitchers are kind of all over the place on whether they would actually want to do it. Skubal, of course, has had a great season. You could see Nathan Eovaldi get there as well. And then Hunter Brown from the Astros has been really good as well. So I wouldn't be shocked to see them there. Sometimes it's hard with the pitchers because a lot of it comes down to do they actually want to throw a random inning, which I totally understand, but nonetheless, for them, it's still super exciting to be in the All-Star game.
Yeah, and we'll quickly hit the NL before we wrap this show up. So, looking at the NL team, who do you got there? Some key guys for them.
Yeah, so I'll start at first base because that has been my biggest struggle is whether it be Alonso or whether it be Freeman. But I'm thinking since the game is going to be in Atlanta, you're going to have a lot more Atlanta fans voting. I think it's going to wind up being Freeman just because they still love him. He's still like everything to them, even though he left. But Pete Alonso has honestly had a tremendous start to the season. So I could see that going either way. Second base, the Cardinals are kind of a non-starter, but Brendan Donovan has been really good. I think he leads second baseman in WAR right now. So I think that's something, a reason for him to be there. At short, I think Lindor is finally going to make his breakthrough. I think I saw he hasn't been in the All-Star game since like 2019 or something like that. Like since he's been on the Mets, he hasn't been in the All-Star game because he's been like it's been against like Betts or it's been against Trey Turner, so it's been a little bit tougher for him. But I think it's his year finally. Third base, I think for me it's a little bit of a given. I think it's Manny Machado. Austin Riley is going to make a play for that too, so I wouldn't be shocked if he winds up as a starter, but the two of them will definitely be there.
Yeah, I think you nailed the infield. Very, very good predictions out of you. I think the outfield, it's going to be either Tucker or Carroll, probably out and right from the Diamondbacks. I mean, I mentioned it earlier. He's been great. He's got 18 homers leading the way out of NL right fielders. You do have Tatis as well, kind of lingering around there, but I don't think he's going to be able to make a case for that out in center. It could be the Pirates' O'Neal Cruz. He has the hardest hit ball of the season, or it could be Crow Armstrong from the Cubs. I think that's kind of the two that we're looking at there. And then out in left, it could be Stowers, it could be Wood. It's kind of a toss-up out there. So we'll see what happens there. Catching, I think it's going to be the Dodgers guy, Will Smith. I mean, he's just been a very good catcher. He's been around for a while for that Dodgers team. And on the mound, it's probably going to be Paul Skenes. I mean, even though this Pirates team is really struggling, every time that he's been on the mound, he's given them a chance to win games. And I think that's something you got to look at with how poorly they're hitting as a team. I think he's going to be the starter for the NL.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's done everything anyone's ever asked of him. I see this stuff all the time, and he's gonna win the Cy Young and like have a losing record with this Pirates team. I wouldn't be shocked. You're also gonna have Zach Wheeler probably be there just because he's as dominant as he's always been. Of course, Yamamoto from the Dodgers, maybe even Chris Sale. He's in Atlanta right now, but they've all been guys who've kind of proven they could be there. Obviously, we'll have to see how stuff winds up and everything like that. But I think that those are definitely pitchers who will be there and they'll definitely be around the game.
Skenes worth 3.2 WAR, wins above replacement, so leading pretty much anyone in that stat. And in terms of predictions, it's always a toss-up. Look at the All-Star game throughout the years. The AL won last year. The NL won in 23. Then the AL took 10, 9 straight all the way back to 2013. So my prediction for this year, I think the American League is going to do it again.
Yeah, I honestly agree. I think it's time for the AL to bring back their dominant streak here, and I think that the All-Stars from the American League especially are going to be able to do it. Not that the NL All-Stars aren't great, but I think the AL All-Stars honestly could be on another level this year, so I wouldn't be shocked to see them pull out a win.
Yeah, I think the AL is going to do it. So that is just about going to do it here on Nosebleeds for today's podcast. I am Dominic Sansone, and I'm joined alongside Alex Diaz. Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports. We thank you for joining, and good night.